As you've heard, we are in a series of messages in our season of stewardship, where we are doing something a little different this year, and that is helping all of us form a theology of stewardship that goes beyond the month of October every year when this church traditionally does a season of stewardship, to a theology that guides us each and every day as Jesus' people. This morning we'll be looking at an episode from the life of Jesus from Luke 17. And before we turn to that, would you join me as we pray? Gracious and loving God, we are grateful that you're a God who so generously gives to us. Our prayer is that we might mirror that generosity with our lives, with not only our finances, but our time, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And my prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke 17, beginning at verse 11, Luke records this episode from Jesus' life. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are often conditioned to remember Jesus healing people, and it was usually by a touch. He would reach out and touch, and they were healed. He would make some mud and place it on the eyes of a blind person, and they were healed. Here we find Jesus being met by 10 lepers, and he doesn't lay hands on them. And the lepers were doing what they were commanded to do by law at that time: stay separate from everyone else. They were marginalized, they were set apart because of their infirmity. And Jesus, from a distance, says, "Go to the priest, show yourself, and you'll be cleansed." It's reminiscent in some ways of 2 Kings 5, where Naaman, who was a Syrian army commander, was miraculously healed by the prophet Elijah. And Edward, I will, if you want to just go to the pulpit mic, I will endeavor to stay in my place. Elijah said to Naaman to go and 7 times wash yourself in the river. Naaman resisted until finally he relented and washed himself in the river, and he was healed. Jesus didn't have to lay hands to heal. And when he commanded them to go, we're told that as these marginalized people, because of their infirmity, went to do as commanded, they were cleansed on the way. Imagine that walk if you were one of them. Imagine looking down and seeing your body healed as you walked. And in a twist that could even be a parable, because parables are engaging stories that have a twist, we're told one comes back. One returns to say thank you.
And that one was a Samaritan. That's shocking in the original context of this episode. Because Samaritans were as marginalized by Jewish people in that day and that time as really those suffering from leprosy were. They were considered an unpure breed of people. But it was the Samaritan who came back. And Luke says that he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Jesus says, were the other nine not healed as well? Where are they? There's only one who came back, and it is this foreigner. And then Jesus says something profound to him. He says, rise. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. He doesn't say your faith has cleansed you. He says your faith has done something so much more. Your faith has now transformed your life. Yes, you're cleansed from the thing that marginalized you, that set you apart, that kept you from community and family and support. But your life is transformed by his statement of faith in the God of all creation. Go. Go. This is a story for all of us regarding gratitude. Because gratitude, when we fully internalize it, when we fully realize the depth of what God has given us, the depth to which God has blessed each of us in the totality of our lives, not just in our bank accounts, not just in the size or the neighborhood we live in where that house resides, but with the totality of life beginning with a right relationship with the God of all creation through the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus. Gratitude leads us to adoration. Grace leads us to adoration. You see, grace, God's goodness to each of us, demands a response. It's freely given. God offers it to each of us while we are still rebels towards God. But he freely offers it. It costs a heavy price. It costs the life of his son on a cross. And when we realize, when we truly in our hearts and our minds come to grips with the depth of that gift, our gratitude response to that grace must be our lives, all that we have, our time, our money, our thoughts, our words, the way we do life. And that's called being invited in to a life of discipleship, where every breath we take is an act of adoration and worship because of our gratitude to our God. C.S. Lewis, in his wonderful little book called Letters to Malcolm, which is a book where he writes as if he is communicating with someone, and it's chiefly about prayer. Lewis writes this: gratitude exclaims very properly, how good of God to give me this. Adoration says, what must be the quality of that being whose far off and momentary coruscations are like this? One's mind runs back up the sunbeam to the sun. When we experience the grace that only comes as a gift from God in Jesus Christ, we exclaim, how good is a God that would give me this? And it's as if our thoughts run back up that ray of light that comes from the ultimate source, the sun. And as we do that, that act of gratitude propels us to give our lives, the totality of all we have and all we are, and being led by the Holy Spirit on a journey of transformation, which begins with gratitude. I love what author Randy Newman says in reflecting on Lewis's writing. This distinction between gratitude and adoration is helpful, but only if, once the difference is understood, we reunite gratitude and praise in their biblical union. They feed off one another in ways that makes us increasingly grateful and doxological with each breath. Surely our minds and whole being should run back up the sunbeam to the sun. That, my friends, is what transformation, living a life as a follower of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, does for us. It constantly reminds us that we are blessed by a generous God who has gifted us with the gift of salvation in Jesus, who has poured upon each of us in this room, in this culture, in this society, in this day, abundance of blessings. And because of that, our gratitude must propel us to adoration, to praise of God. And the response is not simply adoration, but transformed lives as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, do something in and through me so that my life is a reflection of the gratitude and the thanks for what you and only you, God, can do in a human life. And if we yield ourselves day by day, breath by breath, to that power of the Holy Spirit, compelled by gratitude for what God has done for us, our transformed lives will reflect the lives of Jesus wherever we find ourselves. And it will mean we use our money differently, we use our time differently, we use our thoughts and our words and our actions in ways that each and every one reflect our gratitude through adoration, and our lives are transformed, and our world becomes a better place. How are you doing this morning with gratitude? We're approaching a season, if we can get through Halloween and manage to carve out a little time before we start our Christmas shopping, where as a nation, we say we're going to pause, theoretically, and give thanks, to be grateful. Are you grateful more than just that one Thursday in November? Because if we truly every day get up and remember that the gift we have that day is a right relationship with the God of all creation, our heart language will be one of praising God for his goodness and to say, God, here, because of what you have done, here's my life. Take every bit of it because I am so grateful. Because my life is now yours. May we be people of grateful hearts. May we be people yielding body, mind, and soul to the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God, so that we might live transformed lives, propelled by gratitude and adoration, and be people that God uses here and now as witnesses to the good news of the gospel, our greatest gift and our greatest source of gratitude for what he has done. Father, we are grateful that you are a generous, generous God. We thank you. We thank you that because of what you have done for us in Jesus, we can, with each breath, give you honor, glory, and praise. Father, may you do a good work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit, creating in us hearts full of gratitude that yield themselves every day to the power of the Holy Spirit so that we might live with each breath more and more like your Son, Jesus, the risen Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.